of the Nistrei. So there are a few more things that, a few more pieces that we need to fit in before we come to our concluding, halacha l'maisa, how we treat the oven. So the Gemara says that the issue of Recha, again, when it comes to Avin, there's what the Shulchan Aruch deals with here in some Kuchas, and what the Gemara deals with, which is Recha. That itself is confusing because there are different Gemaras about Recha that imply different things, and we've been working through that issue. But then there's another issue called Zeya, which is not dealt with in the Shulchan Aruch over here, and it's not dealt with in the Gemara in the context of an Avin. It's dealt with only in other contexts. So we have to try to parse it all out and figure when is Reicha concerned, when is Zeya concerned, when is neither a concern, when are both a concern. So one detail about Reicha that we didn't get to that also relates to Avin is the Gemara says that the issue of Reicha is only relevant if one of the items is a Davar Shamei. But if both are kosher, then there's no Reicha. So the Shaf, in the beginning of the Siman over here, the Shaf and Sivkat and Aleph, right, Stavka, Shafim and Shamein, that only if one of them is Shamein, then Afilu Hakshari, even if it's the Kasha one, the Azul Heter of Mefatek the Isser Bereche, that the Heter will go and will fatten up the Isser with its Reach, Vahadu Azul Isser Ba'osul Heter. And now it will give the Isser the energy that it needs to be able to go and Asr the Heter. Frank the Shach, but wait a second, isn't that against rule number one in Yaradeya? Rule number one, what are the top five rules in Yaradeya? That ain't a Nesar, that the Nesar can have more koach than the Yisra itself. So Tirz Mariba, go Sharadu, meaning what's the cash over here? That the Dabar, the Yisra itself is not a Dabar Shamein. So you're going to tell me, oh, because it has Heter, that was a Dabar Shamein that got into it, so now the Yisra itself is able to travel more than it was able to go beforehand. So Tirz Mariba, go Sharadu, Simlame, to Recha Shaini, to Vishapitu Moluch Haret, Patama Kochoshimo, that Recha just plays by different rules. And because Recha plays by different rules, it has the ability to do so. Recha is just different. And he goes on to say, "Avol k'shneim k'chushim k'asav Rashi b'Torah Sabayis." The shari the kol yalma. They're both k'chush, and it's for sure mutter. Mivu beisiyosim mashrafin l'chadchila. That there's not any problem. Recha l'chadchila when you have two dover k'form k'chushim. V'achim mashma lahedya v'marviya. Fine. And then he says, "Mikol makom tov l'achmin l'chadchila." Fine. It goes on and on, so it's a long shach. Now, the shach essentially says that it's difficult to understand why a davar heter shamei should become usher with a davar usher kachush in the same oven, but for whatever reason, that's what we accept Allah. I think that's what we assume. As long as one davar is a davar shamei, even if it's the davar heter that's shamei, it's going to be able to recha, it's going to be operative, but if they're both davar kachush, then there is no recha. However, he writes, you should be allowed to burn challah together in the oven with the bread. Meaning, what happens very often? A person is baking challah, a woman is baking challah for Shabbos. So she dafka wants to bake enough challahs to be mafish challah, she wants to do the mitzvah. Very often, the reason she bakes challahs because she wants to do the mitzvah, as opposed to for somebody, she's going to be or whatever. Fine. All good. We encourage mitzvahs. So she's mafish a little bit of challah from the dough, and now what are you supposed to do with this little piece of dough that was that's now has a din of truma? So what are you supposed to do with it? So you burn it up. How do you burn it? So very often, one will want to put it in the oven in order to burn it. That's the only way we know how to burn things, because you're not supposed to throw it out when it's still intact. So you want to burn it entirely, and only then get rid of it. So because we can't give it to a kohen, we don't have truma tahora that and kohen tahora that can eat it. So that's what we do. So chalas kotzaretz, that's what we do. We put it in the oven and we burn it up. But wait a second, how can I have challah which has a din of truma, which is machol sasuras mamish? I'm going to have that in the same oven, uncovered at the same time as the challahs I want to eat for Shabbos. Shouldn't that treif up all my challah for Shabbos? Say, nah, you're allowed to burn the challah together in the oven with bread. Why? Because they're both dvar mechushim. Neither of them is a davar shamei. And when you have two dvar mechushim, then there's no issue of recha. So he points out that the issur v'heter implies that it's only mutter because challahs meet rabbana nowadays. But really, it should be mutter anyway. I mean, why do you need to say because challahs is rabbana nowadays? It should be mutter anyway. because it's kafush. Now, kamina, whether the reason is because chal is rabban, or whether the reason is because they're both from klushim, would be if you burn chal and yam together with the davar shamin. Meaning you have a heter that's a davar shamin, that's how you make the nice, fatty, juicy meat in the oven. So can you put the chal in at the same time as that fatty, juicy meat in the oven? If your whole heter was a davar kachush, so that's not going to help, because we said over here that even if the heter is a davar shamin and the iser is a davar kachush, the heter is going to fatten up, is going to be mefatim the iser, and then it's going to go weiter and affect the heter. If it's about the fact that we're just mekel on recha of the drabanan, so then it's fine. Chalzkul says the drabanan can be mekel on the recha of the drabanan, even if it's cooking in the same oven as a davar shamin. But so that's the nafkamina, which svara you go with. L'chora, they're both good svaras, right? I mean, each one is enough of a heter. So two dvarim chushim really shouldn't be a problem. Now, the idea that bread is automatically a davar kachush may not be 100% clear. Meaning bread, when it's made with just flour and water, yeah, that's a davar kachush. That checks out that it's a davar kachush. Prima Kadim in Mishpesot Zav, Sikratan Aleph, however, says that it's not always so partially, right? Umashkas bepas in reach klal lecharek umashkas v'taras katas shem chushim hay. That would say bread has no reach. That's because it's double kafush. El damin chus Yaakov shamos yiral kasav afilu me bululim b'shemen. The rayas rabbi natan milach metod the chavit umatz betan recha afshem bulul b'shemen. The raya is from lach metoda. Lach metoda is chametz and matzah, right? Because most kavanos milcha are really matzah. There are a few that are chametz. So 10 of the loaves are chametz. So it's combination of chametz and matzah that are baked together. And yet the chametz doesn't affect the matzah in the same oven. But there's shemen in the lach metoda as well. And kavanos milcha has shemen also. It's not just flour and water. It's oil as well. So we run dafka shemen to become a complete kafush lo mefatim. So you see that even bread that has shemen in it is still called the davar kafush, and it's not going to be mefatim. Yeah, shemen, he says, amol shuman mefatim. But if there's shuman in it, if there's something fatty in it, then they're actual, like we said yesterday, that the way they used to make bread was with chaser schmaltz. They would take actual lard and put it in the bread. One of my friends told me that. Gavri Butler, a guy who's in North Woodmere, grew up in Pittsburgh. So I forget what the context of this story was, but it was the story of one of the major Ashkachas that was giving Ashkacha at the same time as a more Heimisha Hashkacha. So the Heimisha Hashkacha was a Hasidish guy who didn't really speak any English. So the major Ashkacha couldn't believe what was going on when they were brought into the premises. Because what happened, the guy would come and he would say, he would look at each ingredient and he would say to the proprietor, "Thus is dust." And the proprietor would say, "That's flour." And he would say, "Thus is kosher." And they'd say, "Yeah, it's kosher." And "Thus is dust." That was his entire inspection. "Thus is dust, thus is lard." "It's kosher?" "Yeah, it's kosher." "Okay, good, so it's kosher." That's not a way to do kashkan, obviously. So lard is not kosher, but it's also very fatty. Meaning anytime they put shuman into the bread, so then even though it's a bread, it becomes davar shamin, says the Prima Gadim. Ulfizeh, matzos hamashuchim b'shuman, v'nefum chametz. If they put some fats in the matzos and they're baked with chametz, yesh lesser hen v'derech milsa. Then you have to worry about recha again. So the Prima Gadim says oil is kafush, shuman is fatty. However, the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch Harav, Siman Tav Mem Zayin Sif Tes, and the Mishnah Berurah in Tav Samech Aleph Sikar Tav Beis say that even if bread is nilosh b'shuman, it's still kafush. And now bread is bread. Bread is always kafush no matter what you put in it. The reason we're not with wives, mothers, ever burn challah? What do? They do it uncovered in the oven together with the challah. They don't do that. I can guarantee you they don't do that. Seminaries told them not to do that. Right? So why not? Why were they told not to do that? So we're not to even burn it together with bread unless you totally wrap it in foil. That's what they're told. You completely wrap it in foil and then you burn it out. And the reason is because Mati Yonason here writes that it only remains kafush with tiny amounts of oil, like the lach metoda had. Lach metoda were very, very small amounts of oil. And he writes over here, V'raya milach mitov v'daf yasim tani rach v'av gav v'chametz matza v'av l'nech v'shem reich milsa al v'adai de b'shrei v'chush reich v'lav milsi v'mak shviri k'blach mitov v'shemen v'kapito v'lo kashem yedi these are psak v'daf al v'chasim beis ein yotzim v'chal stod v'tzim v'shmat v'maz matza v'spin v'maz v'shtomers v'shem matza yotzim v'shem v'shmers v'shem matza v'shem zavach v'paruch v'paruch v'tep lay dav matza ashira. Aren't the lach mei mean the Gemara asks whether you can be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with the lach mei toda? So the Gemara says that no, because it's not lishma and matzah. So if you ever been to a matzah bakery, I'll show you. Go yet? When you go?
Yesterday I
didn't go. Well, you didn't go. Okay. So if you would have gone, you would have seen that you know that they're saying everything is lishma, that it's lishem matzah. Matzah's mitzvah, fine. So, and the lach mitzvah, don't the shame tzevach, and not don't the shame matzah. So, frek the Gemara, but anyway, it's not kosher for matzah, for the Seder. But take like matzah shira. It's anyway matzah shira. Meaning matzah's supposed to be flour and water, and that's it for the Seder. This has oil in it. Amr Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Reviyasi, whom is chalek as the kamachalos. How much oil already is in there? It's such a tiny amount. There's a reviyas of oil and 10 different loaves of matzah. In Cain, Kimidav in Linyan Matzah, Shira, Dover Muat, who had in Linyan Pitum, Amin, Dami Dover Muat, Rabbi Shneim Kchushim. That's why, even when there's shemen, it's considered kachush, because it's such a tiny amount of shemen. But if you could imagine a bread that's baked with a lot of shemen, so the Matzah Yonasan assumes that it was baked with a lot of shemen, then it could become a Dover Shamei, then it could become something Pitum, and that's going to cause a problem of Recha. So therefore, because we are not the key to know what's a lot and what's a little, so we're just machmir. Now, clearly, b'di'evet, all of our chalas are—they're not dasha. We may be machmir l'chachila. I don't know how much oil. I don't know how much oil is in a typical challah recipe. My guess is, I think none. Right? No, is there oil in a typical challah recipe? There is. Yeah, can pull up a challah recipe. How much oil already is it? So if it's
you can make garlic challah. A lot of people make that.
Garlic challah. Okay.
Yeah.
I put margarine in the challah. Is there typically not? I haven't never made
that.
So okay. But
a third of a cup.
So a third of a cup. That makes how many loaves of?
Two big ones.
Makes two big ones. Have about a third of a cup. Okay, but to assume that that's a dover shemen, I think halacha we don't have to assume it's a dover shemen. But because shemen, we're not the key, and what's a lot of shemen, what's a little bit of shemen, so that's why the Matzah Yonasan is, that's what Matzah Yonasan says, that if there's a lot of shemen, it could be a dover shemen, and therefore the minig is to be machmir, because we're not such mekiyim in what's considered a lot of shemen or a little bit of shemen. But the whole thing is built on chumrah to begin with. That we assume that shemen, meaning it's against the prima donna. The prima donna says shemen is not a problem. Matzah Yonasan is mechadesh that shemen can be a problem if there's enough of it. Prima donna says shemen is not a problem even if there is enough of it. Plus, you know that your challah is not a dover shemen. I mean, you look at it; it's not a dover shemen. So clearly, b'di'evet, if you burn it open together with your dough, it's going to be mutter. So Mishavur Paskins that it's always kafush, and even the Prima Gatim thinks that adding ingredients might make it shameh is mekel derecha b'di'evet for sure. Right? And we're always mekel on derecha b'di'evet, so it's not going to be certainly not going to be a problem if you made that mistake if you did that b'di'evet. Now, moving along to Siv Keis, and then we'll circle back and finish up the discussion of ovens. The Rashba, the Torah of Bayis Aruch, Bayis Dalish Shar Aleph, says that Recha is only for roasting. But in the Kedera, we're not concerned. And that's what's quoted here in Shulchan Aruch. Amed Bar Mamun Bitzli, Abul Balav, Ashim, the Kedera, Zeliat Smov. Each of the food items are in their own kedera, and I feel with Tanakh and Bibsasum mutter, and even if it's a tiny oven and it's totally closed, it's still gonna be mutter. We're not concerned. And the rise from Safmai Vav that says that Kein Shtei Kederos is mutter. So this is what the Mechaber writes over here. So the background to this halacha is that the Gemara says that there are certain cases where everyone agrees Rechalav mitzvah. One example is you have two families roasting their Kavanos Pesach in the same oven. And you have two families, most of them are passing the same mom, and everyone who's Reichel Adonis. Now, it's, the halacha is that it's also for someone who's not been a menuhin on the karban, from someone who's not one of the registrants on the karban, to eat from the karban. So even though it's us for someone who's not been a menuhin on the karban to eat from the karban, we're not worried about the reyach of my neighbor's karban getting into my karban. Meaning, I would have thought, well, if I'm not allowed to have his karban, he's not allowed to have my karban. So if we're cooking the same oven, the reyach from his karban is going to affect my karban, and therefore I'm not, and mine his, and therefore we're not going to be allowed to eat our karbanos anymore. The Gemara suggests that maybe the reason we're not concerned about that is because each karban is in their own kedema. What's the problem with that? It's on that karban pesach. Karban pesach doesn't go in a kedema, right? You're not allowed to. So the Gemara rejects that because you're not allowed to roast karban pesach in the kedema at all. That's the give and take of the Gemara. So the Gemara instead suggests there must be some sort of barrier that's created to prevent the free flow of recha from one to the other. And that's why I'm not worried about the recha. So what emerges from that, the Gemara, is that there's two ways. The Gemara wanted to know, why am I not worried about the recha by karban pesach? So first suggested they're each in their own pot. Then said, no, we don't do pots when it comes to karban pesach. Oh, okay, so you built some sort of other barrier between them. So what emerges from the Gemara is that there are two ways to prevent recha. You can either put both foods in different pots, or you block the flow of recha in one way or the other. Right? Sometimes you have ovens that are... that are side by side or connected to each other in some way or another, but if it's not just a free flow of recha where it's in the same box, it's in the same, one could argue that there's no recha. And that's why the Mechaber says that in Bava Vashlam, the Kedeva, Zeli Atzmo, Afilu B'tanukata, Mechiv Sasum, Mutter. If you're going to cook them in separate pots, then it's going to be Mutter. So the Rashba adds, that even in the time of cutting, it can be made with its own pots, and even if the pots are uncovered, because she'ein arech ha'mispash and gadol kol kach. Then the Rashi brings a further raya from Avod Zar Dafid Aleph on Beis. Over there, the Gemara says that a Jew can keep his pot near the pot of a non-Jew, and apparently we're not choshesh for the reyach, even though they're cooking right next to each other, presumably in the same oven, because they're both in their own pots, and whenever somebody's in its own kli, you don't have to worry about recha. So the Rashba explained to Shita that when something is cooking, if you look at the Rashba itself, he says that when something is cooking, it doesn't generate so much recha. The Shulchan doesn't mention that part of the Rashba, that while it's cooking, it's not going to generate so much, when something is cooking, it's not going to generate so much recha. So look at Shach, Sivkat Tazai. And Shach writes, Hatur B'Shem Rashba Siyem Hatam, She'ein HaReach HaMispashel Kol Kach Osem. That the reach of that which is Mispashel is not, doesn't answer so much. But B'Yis Yosef Zimisad Zai Hikshal Zai, Bo Chiyach Mishas, Tafil V'Nitzel B'Kedema, Ein Osem. It's nothing to do with Gishol versus Sli. Even if it's Nitzel B'Kedema, it's not Osem. Meaning, there are two chilukim you can make over here. One is a chiluk between something that's in a kli and not in a kli, and the other is a chiluk between that which is being nisbashel versus that which is being nitzla. Now, but when we think of ovens, we often think that something that's being nisbashel is much worse, because we're often thinking about zeya. From a zeya perspective, that which is being nisbashel is certainly much worse. But from a recha perspective, the Rashba suggests, that it could be the reyach of that which is tzli is stronger than the reyach of that which is nisbasha. And the Mechaber is mindfully leaving out the part of the Rashba where the Rashba distinguishes between tzli and bishul, because the Mechaber doesn't buy it. And he says there's no difference between tzli and bishul. The whole difference is whether you have hafsek kedera or not. Right? That's what the Shach is pointing out over here. That the Shulchan Aruch assumes that Bishul is not what determines a lack of Recha. It's the Hefsik Tefonos HaKedera between the foods that determines the lack of Recha. The Shach therefore says that the case where there's no Recha is not just that it's cooking in a liquid, but even if it's a pot roast, it doesn't have to be cooking in a liquid. It could be a pot roast, so it's Tzli, it's Tzli Kedar, it's cooking in a pot, it's roasting in a pot. It's which has the status of bishul for these purposes, it will not have recha because there's a hafsek kedera. So the raya is that the Gemara had a havamin, that the case of two karbanos pesach in the same oven, You know, that had happened that the case of supervisor does not create a concern of recha, was that each of them was in their own path. There's no way that the word had happened that the equipment from pesach and liquids, and that's what prevented the recha. So the case that works to prevent recha must be that it's in a pot even without liquids. Meaning there are two ways to read that to understand why the Rashba says, or why one would assume that something in the pot does not create recha. Either because hefsekadeva, the pot creates some sort of barrier, or because that which is cooking is different than that which is roasting. But the Gemara spoke about Krum Pesach. Where didn't have a Havamina, Krum Pesach was cooking. Where did it happen that it was roasting? And then the Gemara rejected that and said, even that kind of roasting is no good because it's Sli Kedar, and you're not allowed to Sli Kedar, Krum Pesach. Krum Pesach has to roast on a spit over an open fire. So that's why the Mechaber rejects this Rashba. However, the Ramah writes, as always, a little more machmir. B'davka shatan v'pesuach tzas, avu l'sasim v'kol etzatav v'derech, shemat minim acham l'tzor Shabbos asir, v'afil b'diav v'yesh machmir v'osir v'yisra'at v'gula, v'mok mechzit v'mur v'yesh l'alaka. The Ramah is only makil if the oven is open. If it's a closed oven, then even though they're each in their own kli, we have to worry about recha. And then he said, "Mok mefs and rugo, we can be made." So Lush assumes that Rav is equating Sli and Bishul, and therefore requires that it has to be basuach in order to be made with the other. But the Shach and Sukkotim Yitzayin assumes not that way. The Shach and Sukkotim Yitzayin holds that Ramah is made by Bishul lechachira when the Tadar is open a little, but he would not be made by Sli, meaning that the Ramah buys back into the Rashba's chiddush. Right, the Rashba's chiluk that the Mechaber had rejected, that Sli creates more recha than Bishul does, the Ramah buys back into that section. And the Ramah holds that by Bishul you could be Mekel Chatila when the time is open a little, but not by Sli. The Ramah's willingness to be Mekel to have Sibur Ruba, Yaruch HaShulchan in O.C. Beis expands to any case of the Dieven or the Kavod Shabbos. That's also called Absim Ruba. Shach and Sipek Nechaz Chotzer Marshal, that is machmir with any closed oven, no matter how big it is, and even perhaps the Mubilba. So at the end of the day, the minig is again to be machmir, not to, meaning when we put things in the oven, we typically do have it in a kli, right? We have it in some sort of kli. So does a kli mean a kli with a cover on it? Certainly not, because then there's no reason to talk about it at all. Right? Kli means, hefsekadeva, that there are walls of the kli, and therefore the reyach is somewhat contained. Meaning what we're saying over here, when we talk about a kli, is not that the reyach is fully contained, because then there's no reyach. It means that it's somewhat contained, because it's there are walls of a kli that go above the level of where the food is, even though there's no cover over the kli. So that's another tzad lahakel whenever you're facing a reyach shayla. Now, the million-dollar question is, why it is that Shulchan Aruch never discusses Zeya over here? Shulchan Aruch did discuss Zeya back in some side of age, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about Zeya when he talks about ovens. That's a little bit strange. So, in Sadi Beis, first of all, even back in Siman Lam, the Shulchan Aruch paskins what it says in Shuvas HaRash, that Zeya is a problem based on the Mishnah Masechta Makshir, Siman Sadi Gimel, by the way. Shulchan Aruch is machmir by a pot cover because of Zeya. Right? So, Shulchan Aruch obviously is aware of Zeya, but for some reason doesn't address it directly when it comes to ovens. So, there are two mahal. Darkei Moshe seems to address this and says that we distinguish between very moist foods, which generate a lot of zeya, and drier foods that don't generate so much zeya. So that works very nicely for Sif Aleph, because in Sif Aleph we talk about Recha and the Davar Yavesh, and we don't have to mention zeya because everything was the Davar Yavesh. But in Sif Beis we're talking about Tavshilu in a Kedera. So it's hard to ignore the fact that Tavshilu in a Kedera tend to produce some zeya. And yet the Mechaber ignores that as well, and it's totally makel, and the Ramah is makel to have Sibaruba, and also doesn't directly address Zeya. So it's only the Ramah that brings in Zeya and Sif Aleph, right? The Mechaber never did. And in Sif Beis, the Mechaber again, right, still doesn't bring in Zeya. So some posts suggest, based on the Ramah and Sima Sadi Beis, and Sif Chaz, that since the case of Zeya is only when one item is directly on top of the other, you can't have Zeya when two items are cooking side by side in the oven at the same time. problem is the Rambam Siman Tzadi Gimel explicitly says the Malach Lukisa Roteya Mikaderish Shalvasa the Nasos Al Kaderish Shalchala. If you take the lid of your chicken soup pot and you put it over your macaroni and cheese pot or whatever, your cream of mushroom soup where the cream is milk, im shneim chamim shneim asurim im yesh bal malach Lukisa Shalvasa Mechala. That it does answer, but it's only Zaya. So the answer might be, as Rishatan points out, that there's a different reason, Muggum, to distinguish between a pot cover where it's Hevel versus just regular Zaya. Meaning under a pot cover, it's this thick, thick steam, it's Ki'ilu, like the whole pot is filled with that stuff. The Megillah Sefer quotes a Sefer Zera Yitzchak, and Rav Moshe in his Tshuva discusses this Svari, he's not a fan of it. But it comes up in Pesach. Megillah Sefer quotes a Zera Yitzchak, who quotes a Chumas Evan Yekar, Chel Gimel Simin Yud Ches, that any oven where the way the oven is heated is that the fire is burning on the inside of the oven where the food is, meaning an oven as opposed to a stove. A stove top, you put the pot over the stove and the heat is coming from the outside. In an oven, the heat is coming from the inside. So the fire burns up any potential Zera. That's the svara that he has. That zeya is not going to be an issue in a closed oven, because in a closed oven, all the zeya gets burnt immediately from the heat of the oven. And in fact, a metal oven wouldn't be a problem, even if it's a seichel mibachutz, because it's chametz asocham kulo, and therefore it's considered a seichel mibachutz. So the Megillah Sefer then adds, v'hineh, afal pishaveh evin yikar mechalik ben a seichel mibachutz ve a seichel mibachutz. Even though the Evan Yikar is mechalik between the Segum Yikar and Segum Yikutz, Ubeit Suge Hatanurim, and between different types of ovens, Nira She'efshar Laharach Tvor Lomar, She'kol Tan Chomo Rav B'Yoser, that every oven we have is extremely hot, U'mishukach Hazeya Mesrefes Ve'en Lachoshba, and therefore Zeya is always immediately burnt up, and you don't have to worry about Zeya at all. V'davka B'pishul Ish Zeya Merubah Mishum She'ena Avir Cham Kol Kach. You're cooking a pot of soup. Yeah, then the pot cover has zeya because it's not that hot. What's in the pot is not so hot. V'chein shamati michachem echad, who avhosev v'amar sh'af mibliili kanes lehezbra zeh, lama b'tanurein zeya, that even without getting into this hezbra as to why there's no zeya in the tanur, v'kamakum hametzius hanirus le'enayim hi she'b'tanurein zeya klal. Have you ever seen Zeya in your oven? Says the Megillah Sefer. It's a mitzius. Look, you don't see Zeya. Ukmoshan Rom Shapsik Satan Rain Rom Shum Zeya. Loba Aviratan Veloba the Fnosan. Have you ever noticed the difference between when you open up, let's say, you heat up soup in a microwave, right? And you open up the lid of the, or you take a microwave, and you take the lid off of the off of a pot of soup. So there's Zeya that immediately you notice. It's steaming. The steam comes up right away. You ever open up an oven and see Zeya coming up from the food? It's the nearest thing I am. It doesn't happen. When it comes to cooking, you always see the Zeya when you take the cover off. And if the Mitzius there's no Zeya, then there's no Zeya. He says, this Chacham Echad did an experiment. He put a pot of water in the oven, mamish water, can't get more moist than that, and he heated it up, and at no point were you able to turn on the lights in the oven to see what was going on. All the water evaporated, and you couldn't see any of it. You couldn't see any of the steam. Because it burns up right away. The atmosphere is so hot that immediately burns up and there's no visible steam. And he says, and that's why in Simul Kuf Ches there's no mention of Zeya. Because the conversation of Zeya is limited to the inside of a pot cover, not to the hot atmosphere of an oven. Wow, that's a nice cooler, right? And he says, you can take Zeya and ignore it when it comes to an oven. That the only issue with an oven is Recha, and yeah, the have Recha on those anyway, so you could ignore the whole part. So how did Poskim actually deal with this? The post can just say like that you don't have to worry about Zeya at all. So the rush in that tshuva as a raya that Zeya is an issue from a Mishnah not Shirin, but there's a tshuva's Mishnah as Yaakov in Simon Lamedalim, where he says there is no issue of Zeya. The proof of Machshirin is not a raya, it's Matumah, it's not that Isser. Shmuel Yaakov says it's you don't have to worry about Zaya. It's an even bigger cooler than Megillah Sefer, because Megillah Sefer is saying there's no Zaya in Simon Kofchas, there is Zaya in Simon Sadi Beis. And we're dealing with pot covers and we're dealing with things that are cooking, of course there's Zaya. Shmuel Yaakov is not even convinced about that. He says certainly by Din Drabbanan is not convinced about that. So that far we're not convinced. Torah Chatas writes, "Be'efshar lomer the whole vaynef atachtov miyavesh, eino malas zeh k'mo k'deira, l'chein lo kibul rak reicha ba'al moshem b'mash." That any davar yavesh is not going to create zeh, and that's what Moshe talks about in his tshuva as well, about the dvar miyavesh, not having zeh. Pesukei tshuva quotes from Prima Gadim in Siman Sadi Beis, cut and vav. Pesukei tshuva quotes from Prima Gadim that only zeh's mashkim is significant. And there are many posts that have very similar views about that. And Zaya, when it's very good beneath it. Rishlom Kluger, Tzuf Tapadas, the base mayor, Rishlom Zlam Norbach, the mentor of Tzidanis, and Rinald, and Rishlom. Yerach HaShulchan says, what's it getting involved in liquid, not liquid? That's not what creates Zaya. Zaya is not a function of liquid. Zaya is a function of fattiness. When something is very, when there's Shulman, that will create Zeya. Mashkin, Elchid, and someone said to me in the basement this morning that the Oral Yaakov quotes a Svara, that if, the Oral Yaakov quotes a Svara, that if you have bread, there's not going to be any Zeya, because it's dry. But if you have a cake batter, which starts out moist, then there's going to be Zeya. So the Oral Yaakov says moist, dry, that's not what creates Zeya. What creates Zeya is Shuman, and cake is not fat. There's no fattiness to it, then it's not a problem. So again, Reicha, as far as we're concerned, is something we're choshish for the Chatila. There are many, many kulas that we can have for Reicha. First of all, it's possible that our ovens are big enough that we don't have a problem with Reicha to begin with. And Reicha is lav milsim b'diyah. And Reicha is never an issue when it's one after the other, it's only at the same time. And usually people don't want to, will not use their other milks and flavors at the same time anyway. It's not a shiny you often get about, I was going to say ever, never say never, but it's not a shiny you often get where from, Balabasta, who went to Michalat for, a year and then half a Shabbat, is going to think about cooking milk and flavors. In the same oven, without the Shabbat maybe, but thinking about putting milk and inflation in the same oven, right? You're not going to find that, but they will very often want to cook things one after the other. I want to know what the issues are. So basically, you can knock out right away. That's not going to be an issue. So the bigger issue becomes Zay. So in Shukas Yaskil Avdi, Chavit Zayin Simid Dal. He's made, he says, like the Megillah Sefer, that the Zeya burns up right away. And certainly, he says, if you turn on the oven in between, it will dry up all the Zeya. Meaning, turning on the oven, adding more, if you shut off the oven after the last thing was cooking in there, and it was still steaming, and then you took the thing out, so there's Zeya still in the oven. But it's an easy way to get rid of that Zeya. Just preheat the oven. Preheat the oven, and all the Zeya will be gone. The Tefillah of the Moshe, Chelek Esav Lechav Gimel, and I saw this quoted somewhere, I don't know who it is, that our ovens are hesekum yubiflim because the coils are on the inside, and therefore there's not going to be zeya anyway. So at the most, what you'd have to do is just take a rag and wipe off the surface of the oven. And if you turn the oven on for a half hour, then for sure you're safe and you have no zeya problems at all. I think in Minchas Yitzchak, so I'm sure that Minchas Yitzchak, okay, he says that you should have two ovens. He's very mad about this, but he says l'mais lahalacha, if you heat up water in between, it will kasher out of Zeya anyway. So that's what mahalach is, to be very makel about Zeya, but just assuming that the heat will burn out the Zeya. Rav Vatya in Yabia Omer Chelak Hei Simin Zayin discusses Zeya with all of the kulas. He says maybe there's no Zeya on machalim, only on liquids. Maybe it was already dried up from the heat of the oven. Maybe the Zeya doesn't drop back into the food. Maybe there's shishim against whatever tipos there are. We typically preheat our ovens, and that generates enough heat to burn out the Zeya. He goes all the svaras of the kula, And he says, therefore, you could be making with the diyavad even if you cooked one right after the other. If someone cooked uncovered milchim and then right afterwards cooked uncovered fleshim, there's plenty to be made with. But he says, I think it's better to wait days between cooking solids. And a good idea to light the oven, to preheat the oven for 20 minutes also. He then says that even with liquids, if somebody is making betoch me'es la'es ein milchos b'yavad. Meaning at the end of the day, it's probably mutter. Rav Moshe, again, b'diavad, was a little more makil, but to allow, the tipos are probably going to be patel. And if you wait meis la'es, we could be makil b'diavad, but Rav Moshe thinks even meis la'es is only b'diavad. The way meis la'es is not enough. Rav Moshe quotes Rav Kideg, and some of the Sadiq, the name of Mari, that if the Kideg rotachas, the pot becomes usher, even if the zay is less than yatsan levas. Furthermore, since the walls and the ceiling of the oven are hot, the zeh that reaches gets heated up right away and is immediately nivla. Rav Moshe's makel if the first food is dry, because then it didn't leave any zeh behind. So if the first food is dry, then it's not going to leave any zeh. But Rav Moshe really recommends, not even relying on 24 hours, that you pick a gender of the oven and you go with that. That the oven is a fleishig oven, only fleishig gets cooked uncovered in milchig. Is always going to get cut. That was Rav Moshe's mahalik. So, in summary, to close it off, some are matir cooking in dairy consecutively in our ovens as long as the oven is clean. Look in our hashulchan in the Sadi days, Osnun Hay, he's pretty clear about that. Our hashulchan is very megil. He cook milk fleishig consecutively uncovered as long as the oven is clean. Rav Schechter recommends waiting for the oven to cool down. At least he used to. I haven't spoken to him recently about this, but years ago he used to recommend waiting for the oven to cool down between meat and hair. I assume that the svara is more of a reich svara than a zeh svara, that as soon as the reich particles may still be floating around if it hasn't cooled down since the last bishel, and once the those reich particles disappear when it's cooled down. Many poskim require waiting 24 hours, or kashrut in the oven between noon and dairy use. The Rav Lichtenstein, the Kernel of Racha, used to recommend that. He would say that if someone wants to be sovich in the Aruch HaShulchan, a mochim biyado, because the Aruch HaShulchan, it's not completely outvoted, but he recommended waiting 24 hours. And Rav Moshe requires identifying one type of food, meat or dairy, and that's the type that's always going to be covered in the oven, and the other type can be uncovered, but you can't have both types uncovered in the same oven, l'chad chila. And l'chad yitzvah is a big proponent of buying a second oven. That's one for dairy use and one for fleishig use. This is one of those things, just a sociological phenomenon, is that like when you learn the sugyas, like you have to work hard to be machmir, you know? Like you're going to find Zeh where the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even mention it, and you're going to say that Zeh applies to all different types of foods even when you don't see any Zeh. Rav Moshe talks about seeing Zeh, and he is mechalik between when you see Zeh and when you don't see Zeh. So, but he's only mechalik within the Dabar Yavesh. He says on the Dabar Yavesh, if you don't see Zeh, you can be summoned that there's no Zeh. But something moist, he assumes, of course there's Zeh. What do you mean there's no Zeh? What do you mean you don't see? You must be blind. Of course there's Zeh. You know, so it's like almost a Mitzvah's question, but there's a lot of things you can make, and yeah, you speak to your average from Balabasta, and they're much more machmir probably than what you would probably conclude from learning the sugyas, or even very often much more machmir than other areas of life, religious life. Every woman is happy to pump her milk on Shabbos. That's a melacha d'oraisa, it's right in the car on Shabbos. But the oven is you can't possibly have milk. So it's one of these funny things. So logically, how it works out that way. I think it's because in the seminaries they're emotional people in general. I mean, the Paschal information, because he was the prince of Chuba, that was easiest to present. So I think that's not associated. That's what I would guess. Anyway, everyone should keep a kosher. Okay, have a great shot.